Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere, so keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. We have a special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late, y'all. It's time for the chocolate letter. This is definitely for the grown and sexy. It's time for another refill, y'all. Don't go anywhere, so keep it locked. The best is yet to come.
Get ready.
We're online. You're listening to the hottest internet station
on the Culture Radio Network.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The DJ Chapman Show.
We just getting started. Welcome to the show. Special guest in the building, comedian Loose Cannon, with another Loose Cannon moment. I'm your host, TJ Chapman. What kind of tea you sipping on, Sam? AD, what are your thoughts? It's getting late.
A big boy, and big boys have desire. What's happening, family?
Test check. I love it. What's happening, family? How y'all doing? It's your main man, TJ Chapman, host of the TJ Chapman Show. We are back with another episode, and we are actually having a good time, man. And we got our special guest in the building, and you know, but she's honorary member now. You know, I done anointed her. You know,
she's part of the crew.
And, she's honorary. I can hit up. Hey Morgan, what you doing? Can you slide through for a brother? Yeah, I'm there. And that's what it's all about. I appreciate you. Hey Morgan. And like always, my family.
Hey.
Sipping the conversations. Booting, baby. What's happening, y'all?
What's happening?
What's good, Sipples?
I love it.
I like doing that,
man,
to him.
Man, look at here. So last week, man, we got into it about, you know, we're in this Me Too movement era, and sometimes now you have to be extra careful, fellas, on what you do, how you do it, because you never know what is going through a woman's mind, because back in the day, implied consent when it came to having sex was the norm. And sometimes no don't necessarily mean no. Mm. It just means try harder. Mm. You know, step your game up. Let me see if your talk game smooth as cream cheese. Something. But now, you got to be extra careful. You be like, you know, you literally got to be like, hey, can I get some ass tonight? It's funny, but it's also sad at the same time. Buddha, what did you take from last week's show?
Well, what I took from last week's show is that I need to be more empathetic, sensitive to everybody else's issues. So my main thing was to the people who were sexually assaulted, why didn't they come forward when they could? Because they could have saved somebody else from being sexually assaulted. You know, and they were like, you don't know because you wasn't there. I understand that. I truly understand that. So, after doing a little soul searching, they were right. they were right. But I still feel like eventually you need to step up because your voice needs to be heard. And if you can help somebody, just one person, not go through what you went through, mm-hmm. then you should.
And funny you say that, because it's like people tend to believe you within a reasonable time.
Right.
You know, last week I said, you know, most women who go through that, some of the common answers that they give is, no one will believe me. Mm-hmm. So my response was, do you think somebody would believe you more if it happened on a Tuesday and you said something on a Thursday versus you saying something on a Thursday and telling about it on a Tuesday 18 years later? And it was a lot of like, that's a great point. And also, one of the main things was, like what Buddha was just saying, come forth within a reasonable time. And should there be a, you know, statute of limitations on it? Because now people are trying to pass laws that will hold victims accountable for negligence. You know, if you know this person is out here doing this, but you're afraid for whatever reason not to say something, and they go off and do it to somebody else, now that person is victimizing that person, while all of this, while you're just like, I don't want to say something.
Or to piggyback off what you're saying, like, so this happened when you're teenagers, you don't say nothing. Now he's a multimillionaire now. You seeing him out there in the middle, you know, seeing him on TV,
balling,
whatever. Now you want to bring it up to the table.
Yeah,
it's kind of seemed fishy at that moment because he got money. But when he didn't have money, you supposed to bandana him.
Right then and now.
Right then.
Because he might not have made that money. So sometimes people say it's a plot. Baby, what you got to say?
No, I definitely agree. You know, most definitely having a situation, I'm thankful that I haven't had that, no sexual assault or rape. You know, I haven't had those that to have a story on. But I do empathize with the men and women that this has happened to. I'm kind of on the fence on the statute of limitations, you know, because a lot of people, they deal with it psychologically, you know, forever. But then after a certain amount of time, you know, you get a little bit older, you got to kind of get some help, you know.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of times it's someone in the home. Mm-hmm. And when you are a child, an eight-year-old child in the home with your rapist or molester, it's a different situation to me than if you were an 18-year-old in the house, you know.
Right. And I guess a lot of these situations, you know, it's understandable, you know, for a statute of limitation if it happens to you, you know, while you're a child, because, of course, you're scared shits.
Right.
You know, but, you know, what happens if you're a 25, 26-year-old adult and you decide 20 years later, you know what, I want to say something now.
I mean, adults are afraid sometimes, too.
To what degree, though? I mean, I'm not playing devil's advocate, but to what degree? Because
I guess it depends on the situation.
But what makes the situation different, though, from the person?
Because you have a lot of women who are in positions where you don't know how powerful that man is in their life. It may not be powerful financially or in the eyes of the world, but it just depends on that man's position in that person's life. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, he may be the neighborhood bully or some shit like that, you know, who would really, really do something to other family members. Like, you have some men who can put that fear in a woman in general, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
And make her feel like, no matter where you turn to, you know, I got my hands in this pot, I got my hands in that pot, you know, so no matter who you try to tell, you know, I'm just gonna come back and do it again, or I'm gonna hurt somebody in your family. So you do have adults that are in those type of situations, or it could be a mother who, you know, needs this job. You know what I'm saying? And her livelihood is in the hands of the person who's assaulting her. There are circumstances where grown adults are afraid. So yeah, we cannot ignore that.
I'm not going to ignore that. What you're saying, that's absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. But you had to make that choice. So when you made the choice not to say something in the time that you need to say something, you should. I mean, should you have that same choice 20 years from now?
But I mean, if you've never been assaulted, then you don't know the state of mind that person is in to say, oh, what makes you so brave now, or why didn't you say something then?
That's the question. Like, what circumstances change? If you had that mindset, you don't know,
because it's the same as you saying, oh, back in my days, I take them down, but now that's not. I don't desire to do those things anymore. People evolve. People change. They go through circumstances. That woman probably got herself in a position where that man can no longer hold that over her, or she's went through counseling. People go to counselors, and they gain that confidence to say, now I'm ready to tell my story. Now, when it comes to the ones who the first thing they go for is, I need financial compensation, then I can see you being a little questionable about why now. But for some women, some people in general, just even outside of assault, it takes time, and you don't know what they had to go through to get to that point to be able to say, I'm ready to talk about it.
So what about these states?
Because it's embarrassing.
What about these states who have the statutory limitation?
It's unfortunate. Then you still can tell your story. You still can speak up, because that's therapeutic. It's not about the person who did it to them. You know what I'm saying? It may be for self. I may want to tell my story to get that off of my heart to free me. It's part of my therapy.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always about, you know what I'm saying?
So those who you know, fight those laws saying, you know, oh, it shouldn't be a statute. We should be able to, you know, do this and do that. Well, if it's therapeutical, then, you know, that's fine. Why are you chasing it financially? You know, what are you trying to gain from it? If it's about self-healing and it's about telling your story, you can tell your story without, hey, let me get 7.2 million.
Does money really heal your heart? You can't take those circumstances and penalize all circumstances.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Because there are some women who do seek financial. They like, shit, I want some money out of it. And it's unfair for the women who may just want to tell their story or, you know what I'm saying, know that this person is still doing these things.
I get it, but it's like telling your story. Like, are you telling the story when you finally see this guy and it's a trigger, now I want to tell my story? Or are you telling your story because you really want to
be heard?
Because if you're doing that, then when the healing process is started, should have started, you know, right after it happened.
Well, see, it's easy for us to say what woulda, coulda, shoulda. Mm-hmm. When from the outside in,
right.
But again, like Morgan said, when you are in that situation, you don't know. We can't gauge a person's level of trauma, mm-hmm.
right?
And so, facts. No matter how old they are, young, old, or whatever. Now, you know, like you said, there are people that do things for the financial gain, you know. But then there are those that genuinely want to stop somebody, and why mm-hmm. they take so long? Some
right.
are taking a long time. Because they were in a position where their livelihood was in jeopardy. Mm-hmm. You know, they didn't have the financial means to get out. But now there are a lot more organizations. There's a lot more awareness that's available, readily available, and services that are out there for men and women. And I emphasize men and women because men are equally victims of this type of a situation. You know, we have to acknowledge that as well. So when you see that women are coming out, yes, unfortunately, there are those that's doing it for the wrong reasons, but those that are doing it for the right reasons, that's because they've actually connected themselves with a team of organization of those women, men and women that have empowered them and helped them put them in a safe
and
place.
Triggers can come from anywhere. It could be, yeah. you know, I was assaulted a long time ago, and then, you know, I meet a man, and you may touch me in a way that person touched me, and that may trigger those mm-hmm. feelings back to make me be like, dang, I need to deal with this. So even if it is, if I see your face, that's just like black yeah. people, you know, some of us feel like, oh, we need reparations for slavery. You weren't a slave.
Right.
You don't know what it felt like to be a slave, but we feel as though we are feeling the effects still of slavery. So, you know, but we can't, what we feel today can't compare to what our ancestors felt back in those days. But we want to reap the benefits of yeah. what they went through.
Right. Exactly.
You ain't going to turn down reparations.
You're right. Absolutely. So Maury, let me ask you this. Implied consent versus verbal consent. Do a female, obviously probably can, but... Mm-hmm. If you're used to, you know, giving up the ass
okay.
to some, you know, to your dude or
right.
friends with benefits, whatever, mm-hmm. but, you know, he never asked for it.
Right.
You know, you gave him implied consent.
Right.
But the moment that, you know, he does what he's familiar with
mm-hmm.
and you just say, no, what are you doing? I told you I'm tired, and he rolled over Bennett.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that considered to you being sexually assaulted?
Yes, because I verbally said, I don't care what you're accustomed to. That's just like, you know, if you are accustomed to being able to go in a store and get a piece of candy every time, and this particular time he says, look, you got to pay for it today, and you take it anyway, you're stealing. Because he did not, if he verbally says, not today, that means today you can't take the candy like you normally do. So now the circumstances have changed. You know what I'm saying? So... If I verbally say no, that'd be a difference. If I just in my mind, oh, I didn't want it, and I didn't say anything, then that's a difference. But if I verbally say, not tonight,
mm-hmm.
I don't want to have sex with you tonight.
I'm tired,
I don't have to give you a reason. It's right. my body.
Right.
I don't want to do it yep. tonight.
Oh, girl, right, roll on over here. Let me get this. Just later. Well,
like no.
Well, I'm gonna add to what she just said. if mid stroke, you need to be asking, like, oh, is it okay?
No, that's not the same no. as before you go in.
Time out. It is the same. I'm gonna tell you why.
Uh-oh.
Because in the story of Jameis Winston, they were running the train on the young lady. Everybody had a turn.
Okay.
He was in the middle. He wasn't the last one.
Mm-hmm.
He was in the middle, and she chose him. She said, hey, you raped me. But the guy behind him
did the same thing. And
went
in front of him.
So in mid-stroke, I'm just saying.
Right.
But it cost this man potential millions.
But you're talking about a train. He talking about a man and a woman that sleep together, that live together, that are accustomed to having sex. When you cannot compare the two.
Actually, we can because if you were in mid-stroke, you need to ask for that consent because at any point
if that's
time,
not
you
your...
can change, any point in time of the sexual act, you can change your mind, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, so at the time that you change your mind, mid-stroke, it's considered rape at that moment in time.
No, it's not rape. If I change my mind and you continue to keep going, then yes. If I change my mind and you say, okay, cool, and you pull out and you go on about your business, no, that's not rape.
I understand, but I'm saying if I'm in mid-stroke, you say no and I keep going.
Then now yeah, we got you, a problem. You know. Then you have disregarded me telling you no.
So you need to ask at all times.
At all times. Hey,
I don't think you should have to ask if at any time, because this is where women have to take responsibility. Because
okay.
I'm fair. I'm a fair woman.
Yeah,
Having sex and in mid-stroke, I start feeling uncomfortable, I need to speak up.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't have to ask me shit because you don't know what's going on in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Just
absolutely.
Like I shouldn't have to ask you if I'm on top of you and you decide I don't want to do this no more. I shouldn't have to say, are you sure you're okay? No. Speak up.
Tell me you
ma'am.
Want this.
I don't want you on me no more. I'm done with this. And then I got to get up.
But then if I push your ass off, I'm like, yeah,
he's aggressive.
He hit me. He aggressive. He slapped. Well, what were you doing? I wasn't doing nothing. We were just play fighting.
So
he
to
pushed
piggy,
me.
To piggyback off what you're saying.
He pushed me.
To piggyback off what you're saying, TJ. So when the man, fellas, listen to me. When you have that morning wood and she get up on you without asking,
that's right.
Understand.
That's right.
You have rights.
Yeah, everybody has rights. No,
tired.
but seriously, you're right. You may not want that pussy that morning. I don't care what that with the dick doing. You may not want it. Then you tell her no.
Then
nah.
You got repercussions. Like, oh, who you fucking then?
Yep.
But that's her.
Then you
that's
got then you gotta deal with all of this. Like, you know what? Just go ahead and just ride it. Go ahead. Just hurry up.
Nah,
just hurry up.
Sis, you gotta deal with them insecurities if that's what you think.
But you think
everything is always circumstantial, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's from one situation to the next. If you say no,
does no really mean no though?
Yes,
it means if I say out my mouth, I say no, then it is what it is.
Like, so, is it the way you say it?
No.
Oh, whoa, damn.
So
that means no, y'all. That means no.
What
do you
mean?
But what about no? Just go ahead on.
No.
I told you I don't want to know.
If you hear no, then back up.
My whole point, though, to this...
To be safe.
To be safe. You,
this implies
safe than sorry.
So if I tell you, hey, man, why don't you come over? Or you ask me to come over at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Am I wrong for thinking that I'm supposed to get some sex?
Yes.
Then
no!
You need to ask. If you're unsure, then you need to ask.
So what you doing?
You need to
on?
Ask.
What
so, you know, what you want me to come over for? You know, what you got in mind tonight?
I just want to Netflix and chill.
Okay, then that's all she wants. If you know you're trying to fuck, then you need to take a rain check, not tonight, baby.
Isn't it also, most women also say, you know, men, they know what they want, and they'd be trying to fool you. You know, damn well you ain't really want to watch no Netflix at 3 o'clock in the morning, but you still go over there anyway. So are you just relying on him just saying, oh, he just want to watch a movie at 3 o'clock in the morning?
We ain't crazy,
yeah.
Number one.
So why would you go?
So
I mean,
why'd you go?
The fact of the matter remains, the average woman at 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, at 9 o'clock a.m., with that individual that is summoning us...
Mm-hmm.
We pretty much got a strong idea that we may be doing something.
Exactly. If you're not down, then don't go.
That's
but
it.
If
so
go,
anything
then
other than
go,
that,
then
that individual
naive.
Is not being accountable. They're just, you know, it's...
Now
it's accountability. That's why I say I am all for personal responsibility. You as a grown-ass woman has the responsibility to let him know, hey, I'm coming, but I ain't trying to fuck. I'm going to say it.
Right.
Straight
right.
up.
Use
then
words.
You can say, well, don't even come because I'm trying to fuck. Okay, then, cool. We'll hang out another time.
So let me ask y'all this, ladies. I mean, we had the Desiree Washington thing happen 20 years ago with Mike Tyson.
Mm-hmm.
She what's the difference between a forceful entry if you like it rough, to the fact that some people like that.
That choking.
That rough, that physical part of sex that they
why
don't
do we
get.
Act like
so what's the difference, you know?
Why do we act like just because a penis is in a vagina, your mouth doesn't work? Speak the fuck up. You're grown. Hey, I don't like that. You know what I'm saying? And then keep going find you know what I'm saying? Like, what is wrong with communicating? Like, I feel like people don't talk enough about sex when they meet people in the first place. I want to ask some kind of questions. Like, what's your favorite position? What you into? Shit like that. We don't have them conversations. We just expect to jump in the bed and everybody
and
on the same page. But no, you may be into some wild ass shit. I need to know.
But
Mm-hmm.
In the case of Mike Tyson, he said
he's a boxer. I was off top being like, by.
"Let me finish. Let me finish."
This finna be that crazy by. Shit.
Time by. She, he said in the that she liked it rough. She told me she liked it rough.
But see, and people got people use words turn. I tell this all the time. Like, we gotta stop using words loosely. What's your rough?
He should have asked her what you mean by rough.
Dumping on the throat or slapping on the ass.
My rough might be might be a little ass throat. Slapping, half pulling.
Like, ooh, it's too much.
I ain't expecting you to goddamn hang my ass upside down from the ceiling, rough, and treat me like a punching bag and shit. Wow.
Nah, man, but you know, and in truth, there's some women
that like that shit.
That like that stuff. Like it's real. So like when you talk about implied consent, if me and you have this dialogue of, oh, you like it rough, I like it rough, and then we get into the midst of this thing, I'm a little rougher than you.
Then you need to speak up. Like, ooh, that's too much right there. Tone that down.
But if you don't speak up, and then afterwards you like, you rape me.
No, then that's not fair.
Right, that's not fair.
But it's not about being fair, because now this dude could possibly potentially go in jail, become a sex offender.
It's still not right. It's not right.
It's not right.
So and then, ladies, if this is something that you are out there doing, you listen to this TJ Chapman show, don't do it.
Yeah.
It's time to use your big girl, big boy words and speak up.
My thing is, if something happens during sex that you're not comfortable with, talk about it when you're done. And if it continues to happen, then you have a problem. But you have to at least communicate to that person. I did not like when you did X, Y, and Z. But to go holler out, oh, he raped me. Because most of the time, it ain't just, oh, after the sex, oh, damn, he raped me. Something usually happens somewhere in there, whether he decides he's not going to do something for that person or something.
And I'm agreeing with you. But this, I only said these things because this is the other side of the pillow, man. You know, the boy that cried wolf.
Right.
That person that cried wolf situation. So you get yourself in these situations, and then it's over with. And the only communication you have with that person is, you rape me. There's no conversation of what happened or why it happened. Not all rape. And there's some rapes that just, it happens. And it's forceful, it's violent, it's all that. But there's other rapes that could have been avoided just by a conversation.
Yeah, let's speak you up. Be grown and talk about it.
Absolutely. So we finna get ready to go to break. And, you know, this next segment of the show is very touching. It's very interesting. Just when I thought I've read the chocolate letters, bam. And it was inspired from last week's show. And all I'm going to tell you guys and ladies, get your glass of wine. Two glasses at that. Matter of fact, ladies, don't even grab no wine. Just grab you some cognac.
You need some gin.
Something.
Double shot.
Because this letter right here. Grab on to your seatbelts, because the chocolate letter's back, y'all. So make sure you guys keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
I know. You're listening to the TJ Chapman Show on the Culture Radio Network. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Be sure to like and subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on our Facebook and Instagram page at the TJ Chapman Show. And remember to keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.
You're listening to the TJ Chapman Show on the Culture Radio Network. From the deep dark secrets to the grown and sexy talk, which topic will turn you on to the TJ Chapman Show? Relationships are about love and respect, not about hitting or hurting. If you or someone you know is in danger, get help and let's break the silence. Call the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. The TJ Chapman Show cares.
Coming up next, it's the chocolate letter. So fellas, grab yourself a glass of wine. Ladies, let your hair unwind. This is where it all comes out on the TJ Chapman Show. So keep it locked. The best is yet to come. What's happening? What's happening, family? We back. Man, it's about that time. I hope y'all got your double shots of cognac, because wine ain't going to help you on this one here. I'm joined here by Sipping and Conversation's very own Buddha and Baby.
Hey. Yeah.
And the lovely, beautiful Morgan Williams, Bottomless Conversations.
What's up?
Buckle up tight. Whew. That's how Nephew Thomas said, buckle up tight. But this time, this is a chocolate letter. And he is from Atlanta, Georgia. And man, oh man. Here we go. Hey TJ, what's going on? After listening to your show last week, I felt that I needed to tell my story, but I wasn't sure if you were still doing the chocolate letter. So hopefully you'll be able to tell my story on Tuesday's show. I'm a married 43-year-old man from Atlanta, Georgia. I've been married to my beautiful wife for over a little 5 years. My wife is 42, and we have two of our own. Well, actually, a 23-year-old daughter from a previous marriage, and a four-year-old son that we had. My wife deals with trust issues. We have our ups and downs, mainly because her father abandoned her and she was sexually abused and raped. My wife reminds me all the time that she is blessed to have me as her husband and that she loves me very much. My stepdaughter has been in and out of the hospital for almost over a year due to kidney disease. She's already lost one kidney, and seems like she's on the verge of losing another one and will more than likely die if she doesn't get a transplant. My wife wasn't a match, and others in her family who came forward to help wasn't a match neither. My wife and I had a huge fight because she was so stressed. I asked her to talk to me, and that's when she said that she needed to find her daughter's father. I didn't see anything wrong with it, and I even offered to help. She said, "You don't understand. Her daughter's father was the man who raped her. We've never talked about the rape due to the fact that she was so much pain anytime that we mentioned it. I was shocked because all this time she told me her daughter's father had died. I asked if he was in jail. She said she doesn't know because she barely remembers what he looked like, nor did she know his name. All she remembered was he was a dark-skinned dude, tall, with a blowout fro." Wow, that's a great description. I asked her, how are you going to find him if she doesn't know what he looks like or know his name? I asked her what happened. She said that they met at a house party and she really liked him. They all had been drinking.
and he asked her up to his friend's bedroom. That's when it all happened. His friends held her down while he did what he had to do. That's when I began to cry, and my wife began to embrace me, saying, I'm sorry, my bad. Have mercy. This next part kind of touches me because he later goes on to say that it's okay, sweetheart, because I got you and it's not your fault that you raped me. What my wife doesn't know is that I was that 20-year-old boy who raped her. Have mercy. Jesus, have mercy.
That's too much.
What my wife doesn't know is that I was that 20-year-old boy who raped her. And my stepdaughter is actually my daughter. Wow. That's heartbreaking. After listening to her last week's show, I realized that the statute of limitation in the state of Georgia is only 2 years. I was a young 20-year-old kid that didn't know any better, and I have since then turned my life around. And I'm afraid if I tell my wife that it was I who raped her, I might lose her and my family, and I can't have that. So people, does prayer really actually change things? But will prayer help this situation? I really need some advice. My daughter's on the verge of dying, and she doesn't have a match. Oh, no, I'm good. It's the makeup of mine now.
Okay. Somebody got onions in here. Onions. Oh,
man. Even though I know what's obvious and fatherly thing to do, but how should I go about doing it? What should I do? I don't want to destroy our family, but I don't want to lose our daughter either. Crew?
Shine.
Indeed.
Whew. Okay.
That's
I got questions.
I know.
First of all, she said they met at a house party and she really liked him. So that tells me they kind of knew each other. That gives me a, you know, I know this is 20 plus years ago because the daughter's 23.
Right.
And I know that people do change.
Talking at that sweet game at the time.
You know and people do physically change their appearance. So, all right. But how do you really like somebody you met at a house party and you don't know their name? And they all had been drinking and he asked her up to his friend's bedroom to talk. That's when it happened. His friends, see, it's saying plural friends, held her down. So the question I have, I know alcohol influences things. Mm-hmm. It distorts people or whatever. But there's somebody that knows something. And you in your friend's house in the bedroom, you done married this woman that you essentially have raped, and they held her down. If you may have blocked it, one of your boys
remembers,
and they done said something to you. There's no way your boy ain't told you. You do know who this is, right?
Especially if they had a wedding and these are friends.
That was the thing that crossed my mind. It was any of the boys that was there.
I'm willing to give her this much. I'm giving her some because, you know, influence and you like this guy, you know, naive. I get it. Okay. But there's something about this man that, you know, I know me and Buddha, we talked about it. There's got to be some fragment other than a dark-skinned, afro-ed dude that jogs your memory.
That sounds like a general description of everybody.
I mean, I haven't been to parties and seen guys that I liked. And
did you go upstairs?
No, I'm just saying, like, as far as, like, you know, just in first meeting and not.
I was attracted. See, maybe the word should have been attracted
to him. And, you know, that along with alcohol. So, no, she probably doesn't have, like, a concrete memory of him because it's just like maybe now if they had to just talk that night and then the next night followed up. But
that sounds like just like a one night.
Yeah, it just sounded like she just was caught up in the part. Oh, he cute, you know, and I don't think she really, there was really the type of conversation that we're thinking probably is not the type of conversation that was had.
No, not at a house party.
Not at a house
party. And where your girls at? Like, you telling me you didn't point him out, I like him. So, your homegirl that you was at this house party with.
Did they not see you talking
they
to?
Just, they don't know who he is. Because even at a house party, you know somebody knows somebody.
Hey, who is that dude?
So
right
did
there?
She not speak up about this name? Rape? You know, that's, see, now we going back to our original, you know, the first.
Like, what happened after? Did the party
did she move away?
Did she just stay in the room the whole time? Did she come out? Like, what happened after the rape? Did they just go back to the party? Like, it's a lot of
And see, those are the questions that that victims tend to get, but they turn around and call it victim bashing or, you know, victimizing. Like, why you ask me all these questions? I just got... Whoa, calm down, Santa Claus. We ain't trying to, you know, do you? But we just trying to find out why. And we talking about, you know, why were you there at 2 o'clock in the morning?
Or not even that, just why to you see was who else could
and
know
who
something.
Have known it.
Right, there's pieces to the puzzle that definitely, you know, I mean, I know it's a letter, so, you know, there's...
But he trashed, though.
Yeah, but he definitely trashed.
He trashed. Huh? He trashed.
Well, you, my man, is trash.
To me, with this letter, it definitely had to be. It's a lot of blank spots in here, but based on the letter that he wrote, again, this is his narrative of it.
Right.
Okay. From what I'm gathering, both of them probably was pissy drunk. Well, first of all,
pissy.
I don't know most guys, but I'm gonna tell on myself. I've had several encounters where I would get the whiskey dick. So it ain't gonna be no bang bang tonight. If I'm wasted and,
all night long
and I'm wasted, they get what you call whiskey dick. And I've had a couple of encounters where, yeah, I made myself. I had a what they call it a BDR. And if y'all don't know what a BDR is, I can count my finger. I had 2 bad dick reports.
Okay, I'm here for it.
And I blame it on the liquor because I done
blame it on the goose.
I done
got
had
you
too
feeling
much
loose
to a point where you couldn't wake up. You couldn't. I don't care what you did. No, you wasn't trying to wake up. So. So I don't know what he did. Sometimes you get too drunk, that might be your liquid Viagra. Who knows? Mm. But as far as your mind getting, you know, spotty, you don't know a name, she don't know your name, y'all just look good, and everybody look good when you're drunk.
Right.
I hate to say it.
And then, I don't know, it's not saying if he was in college, you know, because I know when they have these college house parties, things get a little ratchet.
He is trash because, he put himself in the garbage can because he knew that he raped someone. Because he said in the letter, I was that 20-year-old guy that raped her. Only thing he didn't know
was
that the daughter was his. He knew he had raped her.
So now that's what I'm saying. Did she leave?
And even if he didn't know specifically her, he knew he raped someone because he said, I was that 20-year-old man that raped. He knew he raped her whole time.
First of all,
he just kept it a secret because he didn't know that little girl was his, and now he got to speak up because she's about to die.
I'm not going to call a dude trash.
He a whole garbage can.
Hold on. Let me finish. Let me say, I'm going to call him trash. So listen, to answer your question, you got two writer. To answer you, because you got two options. You can tell her and risk losing it all, or you can roll the dice and just go ahead and donate that kidney anonymously.
Anonymously.
And save your daughter's life.
Yeah.
And it all depends on you, because, you know, he needed some answers. Mm-hmm. I'm not an advocate of lying. But this,
he said this.
But this, you got option. Like, if you want to continue on down this road of a happy, lovely, loving marriage, then maybe you might consider just doing what you got to do. And
but he's not, because he stated in the beginning that the abuse and rape has affected her.
Well,
in the marriage.
Well, he's not to blame.
Yes, he is. Raped her.
Time out. If one person know the truth, that's that person. That don't mean both people know the truth. And long as both people don't know the truth, you still right.
But how awful can you be to know that you raped this woman? Well,
and now the cat's out the bag.
Time out. So, hold on. He's exonerated by that state of Georgia.
But we ain't talking about the law. We talking about the fact that
hold on. So he's exonerated. So now it's not a legal issue no more. And he just saved his daughter's life. So what else you need? He done did that. He done gave life.
But this woman, was held down by several guys.
That's an irony in that. Rape. So this is his opportunity to make amends on a situation that was bad in the beginning. So I'm not going to call this man trash, because if he saved his daughter's life, he cannot be trash. That's number one. Now, what he did to that woman, yeah, that was bad. But let's go back to what you guys were talking about. There's two things. She was feeling the guy, so she knew what he looked like. She walked upstairs not seeing this dude's face. She knew what he looked like. And number two, I'm going to ask this question. So if you have consensual sex with a lot of people, you may not remember them faces. But if you have unconsensual sex with somebody, you damn sure going to remember that face. And so
depending on how, we don't know how intoxicated she was.
That's what I said.
I'm not talking about her. I'm talking about him.
He admitted in the letter that he knew that he raped her.
I think with more so of the details that she gave.
He didn't know the daughter was his. That was it. But he knew he raped her.
No, he found out that he was the one when the story came out and it matched his story. It ain't because
that probably triggered like.
He said, what my wife doesn't know is that I was a 20-year-old that raped her. He knew that.
Based on the evidence that, well, was the given story to that was given
yeah,
to
the
him.
The way the story played out.
Before, she was like, we never talked about it. She'd always made her feel, you know.
So he knew he raped somebody.
But don't mean he raped her. But now he knew it was her.
Now he knew it was her. He knew he did
I
something.
Still
but
stand
this is
behind,
the question.
They
how
got
small
friends.
Of a town is right. this that him knowing, him saying, oh, listen, she was the one that I raped.
I'm not going to say he didn't know. But I'm just saying, she knew what he looked like, and I'm sure he knew what she looked like.
Yes, they knew what each other looked like 23 years, 24 years ago.
Negative. So they've
been married for how long? Like,
I mean, they've been married, but see, this happened, this situation. The daughter is 23, so that's why I say about 24 years ago is when this rape occurred.
So I'm gonna give that person.
So 5 years ago, man.
I'm gonna give that person 15 years.
And we don't know the circumstances in which they met again. Either.
It had to be a familiarity, though. Mm-hmm. You don't ask the women. Y'all ask these questions.
That's why I said, where you from? You know what I'm saying? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
So Buddha, to your point, we got to.
She probably never would have thought it was him that did it, but he knew.
We got to listen to that just wrote in. And to your point, you know, trying to keep it anonymous and all this other stuff. If she does decide to take that route of he getting that kidney up and just, you know, there you go, save your life. Oh, we got a donor. Bam. Your wife loved you, remember? Y'all still having sex, right? I'm sure you get naked, right?
Okay.
And yeah, he gonna have to have surgery.
Sure, how you get the kidney out?
He ain't gonna be able to do that.
They gotta cut you. Hey, baby, how you got that?
But
scar?
On a side note, I did look into it to find out
time.
Can you do it. And so, based on the requirements now, you don't necessarily have. It can be a non-relative. So
that's a non-relative.
Even though he's right now he's a non-relative. He can act, if he matches, they can actually do. But generally, when it happens, it's anonymous.
It's
so he just have to play that. Oh wow,
listen,
like you say. Oh wow, I match.
For that person there, I have watched John Q. All right, and all I'm gonna say, all I'm gonna say is
he needed that heart.
He needed that heart, and both of them parents wasn't
a match.
And he had to get it from somewhere.
Yeah.
So, hey, listen. Roll the dice, homie. Roll the dice.
What's next?
Take that kidney out and give it to your daughter. She'll love you both ways. You know what I'm saying?
Morgan, what you think you should do? What advice you got for him?
I mean, it's his conscience that he has to live with.
Go to the grave
with
it. You
know what I'm saying? At the end of the day. But I think... I think that's just awful that now that he knows, you know what I'm saying? I mean, that really, honestly, the best thing for him to do is save the daughter's life. I don't give a shit about what he has to lose in the process, because you raped someone, and not on no mid-stroke she said this or that. You allowed your friends to hold her down, and you take something from her that she wasn't. I don't give a damn if y'all did go up the stairs or what. If she had to be held down, you took it.
Yep.
And the fact that you know that you did that, like, I don't give a shit what he got to lose. Save the girl life and then just deal with the consequences after the fact.
Just become Catholic. And at the end of your death, just admit it and die.
Hey, what you think you should do?
I mean, definitely save your daughter's life.
Yeah.
No matter what. I mean, and you know, when they do all the blood tests and everything, of course, it may potentially come out that.
Come out. Yeah.
But at that point, it save your daughter's life. Mm-hmm. And then you can cross that bridge once, you know, you get there. Because you're saving the daughter's life.
And sir, honestly, you didn't really need our advice because you've already said it. You've already said it's obvious that I need to do the fatherly thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you already know. You know, so without having us, you already have a conscience. You already know what you're going to do. Go ahead and do it. I can't tell you about kidney disease and you know, how to go about doing it. If you got a Cleveland Clinic in Atlanta, I suggest you go there and find you a kidney disease specialist and go holler at him. And that's all I got to say, man. This was definitely one of those letters that I could not wrap my finger around. But you kind of answered your own question. Go save your daughter's life, man. Simple as that. Now, Morgan, we had somebody roll into the show. Because I asked them, you know, hey, if you got a question, you got a topic, whatever. This is more for the ladies. Okay? We got, about 3 minutes. Female question asks, I found out that my boyfriend was cheating on me, but instead of fighting for my relationship, he left me for another dude. How can I get him back?
You can't. You can't, because you can't get, you can't compete with that. You cannot compete with that. You shouldn't even want him back. You can't compete with that.
I got nothing.
You can't compete.
I don't want him.
I cannot compete with pussy. I can't compete with boy pussy. I can't compete with that.
Yeah.
You
no.
can't have the best of both worlds.
I don't want it.
You can't. If he left,
you
if
can
he,
have two men.
If he left her for it,
he already
it's
was getting
done.
It.
If she didn't say, she found out he was cheating and he want them both. He left her for it. Sis, it's over with.
It ain't over with. Sis.
It's over.
It's over.
Go and find you a man
that wants
you.
Cause she don't know if he topping
you.
Or he bottoming. She don't even know.
Listen.
What's going on?
First thing you need to do, Missy.
They said for the women.
Well, I'm gonna ask you.
You cannot answer this from a woman's perspective. Cause
you thinking about a threesome and two women, it ain't the same.
No.
If
no,
I am not
saying.
Into mm-hmm. a man and man on play like
Hold on,
sis.
So she
and
know,
be great.
Hold on. She knows that he doing it. Now, it's already a phone fact.
Right.
She knows he's doing it.
And she
so now
it anyway.
She's okay with that.
Right.
Because now she still want to be with him.
Yeah.
So now if that's the case, then you need to tell this man, I still want you, and I'm going to allow you to do what you need to do. And if he comes back, then you got him.
How do I get my man back?
But see, that's a difference. She's saying, "How do she get?" He left her.
I just
her.
Gave her the blueprint.
He didn't leave her because she may not have been.
We don't know that yet. We
Girl,
don't know. He
you might know, like I know.
But no, he might not feel like he could express himself to her and said, "The hell with it, I'm gonna do what
he
I
was
do."
Giving
How do you
an ultimatum.
Get your man
he
back.
Was giving an ultimatum.
Sis, take that energy. Get your mind right and go get you another man.
Exactly, because that whoever he was dipping with gave him an ultimatum, and he made his decision. It's over with, girl.
And we got time for one last comment from one of our listeners.
I gave y'all the answer.
She said there could be a possibility that his wife already knows and is just waiting for him to confess.
About the rape.
But then that's a whole game in itself.
Then she trash, too, because you don't play them type of games.
Cold world. You need two heaters.
I'm fair. She a whole garbage can too, if that's the case.
There you have it. Trash on trash.
That's why they together.
Hey, sir, go save your daughter's life. Going to get that surgery. You better hope you're a goddamn match. Is all I can tell you. Because if you
might
no,
be one of the friends.
If you ain't no match. That's a different ball game. We already know that two parents can also not be a match.
Yeah.
So do the best thing you can. next week, man. We got an all new episode. I appreciate y'all coming in once again, Buddha and Baby, sipping the conversations. Likewise. And the lovely and beautiful. Don't get no more weave. I love the natural.
Thank you.
I love the natural. Morgan Williams, y'all.
Thank you.
Bottomless Conversation. I'm your main man, TJ Chapman. Tune in next week. Remember, be safe. Keep it locked. The best is yet to come. Let's go.